I believe in missions. And I want to share some things with you from the book of Acts concerning missions. I believe that a proper missions philosophy is tremendously important to we as Christians. There's a lot of things that are labeled missions that we might call them humanitarian efforts, good works, but I'm not so sure we can call it missions. For instance, in the Word of God, we find that the Bible gives us a mission. And He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature. Okay? And we call that a co-mission because co means together. And it's something we do together. And so we have this co-mission to take the gospel. In the book of Acts, in chapter 1, it tells us Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts. And it's interesting in that particular verse, it says, both. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part. And that tells me something very interesting. That we as a local church have a responsibility not just to Council Bluffs, not just to whatever you think Judea and Samaria is, whether it's Iowa, Nebraska, or Canada and Mexico, but just basically the entire world. A number of years ago, I drove by this little church down in Mississippi, I believe it was. We were going down to see our children, and we're on not necessarily a back road, but not one of the main traveled roads, and we're driving along, and I see this huge sign. The sign looked to me like it was about as big as the church building, and it was talking about on there, it had worldwide missions. And I thought to myself, well, they think they're the headquarters for worldwide missions in this little place? And then it dawned upon me, they've got the vision. They realize, yes, from this little place, we're to take the gospel everywhere. One of the things that you'll find from many of our missionaries is that they teach their people those same principles. Brother Ziner, who will be with us, was for many, many years in Mexico. And he taught those pastors that he trained to take those churches they started to have mission conferences that they might challenge their people and help them to understand from the Word of God what their responsibility was to the world. And so they had that responsibility placed upon them, and they sent out missionaries too. And in fact, there are missionaries in Mexico and other places that are supported entirely by Mexican churches. We somehow think this is an American thing. It's not. And when we all catch that vision, it's a wonderful thing. So I hope that we can see a few of the principles involved with that as we get here. I want to just do a little background here. In the book of Acts chapter 11, you don't need to stand. Just look with me in verse number 19. And notice what it says, chapter 11, verse number 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with him, and great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. By the way, I'm not so sure it's important what we label ourselves. I do believe it's important what the world labels us. They saw them and called them Christians, the term basically meaning Christ ones. They saw something in their lives. Verse number 27, "In these days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch, and these stood up, and one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." Go over to chapter 12 for a moment. What I want you to see there is that God had brought two men into this church at Antioch. Now notice verse number 25 of the next chapter. It says, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." Now go to chapter 13 and notice here. "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." How many men is that? Did you count them? Who we got? Barnabas, Simeon, whom they called Niger, Lucius, Manaen, and also Saul, who's later called Paul. So we got five guys here. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And thus begins what we often call the first missionary journey. And we normally say of Paul, but Barnabas is really the one in charge on this one. Now, up until this time, and what I want us to see there in chapter 11, up until this time, most of the preaching that had taken place had been done in Jerusalem. And we find that literally thousands of people got saved in Jerusalem. But God had given them a commission, and that was to go into all the world. Amen? Well, they still had this idea that it was Jewish. And so God had to open their eyes. First it was half Jew with the Samaritans. And then in chapter 10, we find God reveals to Peter that he is to take the gospel to Cornelius, who's a Gentile. And so now they understand that it's to go there. But it's interesting that when they went out, in the previous chapter, it says they ministered to the Jews only. And then finally they speak to some Grecians. So up until this time, most of the preaching had been done throughout Israel and some of the close neighboring Gentile nations. And for the most part, they did that because they had been persecuted and driven out. It wasn't a matter that the church took the responsibility to send them. God says, "You're not going to go, I'll make a way for you to go." Okay? And so persecution came and they fled. But in their fleeing, they also took the gospel in their hearts and they talked to the folks along the way. Okay? Now we come to chapter 13 and we find something else that takes place. And this is the sending out from a local church, missionaries. I don't know what else you'd call them. They were sent on a mission, and they go many, many miles, and we find churches are established, people are won to Christ, and so forth. And so when we look at this, we can begin to develop what I call a missions philosophy. How should it be done? What's the purpose of it? How should this be accomplished? And I believe there's some principles for us to understand here. And so this church at Antioch I think, gives us the organization of a mission team and how it ought to begin and be carried out. Notice again, verse number 1, and notice what it says there. We see, it says, "Now there was in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers." 5 guys. He names them. Now there may have been others, but these are the ones that are named. And these are those in leadership in this church. We find that they were teaching the Word of God. They were teachers. They were preachers, if you please. But they taught these people the Word of God. And so here's a church that is well taught. I believe through that teaching, they understood their position in the world. Now, one of these teachers, interesting enough, is whom we call the Apostle Paul. Paul's an unusual character. He's an apostle as one born out of due season. That's what he says about himself. Paul, at this particular point, had probably been saved, what most believe, about 15 years. We find on one occasion Paul spends about 3 years in Arabia. Now, what's interesting about that, and I was talking with Brother Ron Todd last night, and he says, "Preacher, I believe that is telling us that Paul went to Mount Sinai. That's where Moses was at. That's where Elijah met with God at." And it's just his theory. I'm not going to argue with it. But anyways, he went, he was with God. We find that God gave to Paul understanding of the New Testament church like had not been yet. And in the process of the next few years and establishing of the churches, and in the process of him writing back to those local churches, what we call epistles or letters, we learn how local churches are to operate. We learn what their purpose is. We learn all about this. And so one of the things we can begin to learn here in chapter 13 is the responsibility of the local church in sending out missionaries. Here were 5 guys that had come to them. Well, at least 2 of them had come to them. Some of them may have been raised up in this church. I do not know. But here's a church that's well taught. They understand their position in the world. They understand what they ought to do. And notice what it says about them. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, as they did these things. So here we find these men who are in leadership, they are doing something very important. And what are they doing? They're ministering, they're fasting, and the Holy Ghost then speaks to them and gives them some direction. So they were attentive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And as the Holy Spirit then speaks to them, He says, "I want you to separate me these 2 guys." We would call that the call of God. Now, the calling of God is His affair. It's His business. You can't make God call somebody to this kind of ministry. And it's just His business. And whom He picks, sometimes I really wonder, why did He do that? But He picks a lot of the foolish things and the base things and so forth. And I used to look in the mirror and think, "God, you did not get a bargain." It just amazes me. But God takes us. Here's this boy that's 19 years of age, gets saved, and God calls him. And I'm speaking to myself. Skinny kid. And yet God saves my soul, calls me to the ministry. I'm scared to death to stand in front of people. Very shy around crowds. I've heard people say, "I don't go to church because I'm shy." Well, if I did that, I guess I'd never be a pastor. But it's a matter of, we can't use our excuses. Amen? I look back at Moses, and Moses says, I can't talk plain. I think Moses spoke with a lisp. And so God does that work. He chooses. And something that we notice here is that He revealed it at least to the leadership of the church, if not the whole church. He said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Now there's something that God does. And that is, when God calls somebody, those that are round about, they begin to recognize that too. Shortly afterwards, I got saved and feeling the call of God. My wife and I got married in July of 1967. And that's a lot of years, eh? And we got married. We lived in Omaha for 1 month. And then we packed up all of our belongings into the floor of a 4x6 trailer because we couldn't get it all in the back seat of... You won't believe this. I went to Bible school with a 65 GTO. And did I get razzed in Bible school with that? But anyways, we took off and went up there. Backwards, scared to death. God won't do that. We get in the Emmanuel Baptist Church. We spend the next 3 years in Bible college. Mine was a little unusual because I had all that other stuff that they would normally give you, all the liberal arts stuff, and I'd already spent 3 years in college, and so I spent another three taking almost completely Bible courses and pastoral courses and just soaking up everything I could soak up. I was a brand new Christian. But the end of those 3 years, that local church, Emmanuel Baptist Church, looked at the lives of me and several other young men, and they ordained us to go, and in my case, to go out to, I wasn't sure exactly, but to establish a church somewhere. From there, I went to Seattle for 3 years, and God used that like a graduate school or on-field training with Brother Kenny Blue. And it was a great 3 years of training that I had there. I didn't know I was being trained. He didn't know he was training me, but God was using all of that time as well. And so God, He put His hand here upon these folks and helped them to understand it, just like Emmanuel Baptist Church understood that with us. Notice verse 3, and when they had prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. They were ordained to a particular purpose. Sometimes men, they say, well, I just want to be ordained. I want to have ordained. What are you being ordained for? What are you being sent to do? What is it that that church is sending you to do? And so they were sent to do this particular job. This is not an individual or another organization doing that. It's the local church. And I believe we have that obligation. Not an individual thing, but as a church. I believe as a result of this, when we look at it and we see how collections were made in the local churches and all of this, we work in the area of missions through our local church. I believe that's the direction we ought to go. I don't see it any other way. Okay? And so here's a local church that is sending forth these men, being directed by the Holy Spirit of God to do so. Okay? They recognize the calling of these men, and they sent them after they've been ministering, they've been praying, they've been fasting. And by the way, if you're not doing those things and you're a part of a local church, how can you have a part in any decisions for men like that? I mean, let's be serious. And so here is what God is doing in this church. Now, when you and I bring these things up for a number of reasons. A couple of things. One, Ron Todd pointed this out to me last night. He said, you look at that, he says, God took 40% of those who were being called into the ministry and put them on the mission field. 2 out of 5. And that was an interesting thought that he had. Something else we find, this is a responsibility of the local church. Please don't misunderstand what I'm about to tell you. We have established mission boards in our country. There's hundreds of them. And under their leadership, there are missionaries going to different places. The only problem I have with mission boards is when they think they have greater control over the missionary than the local church. When I say control, authority. At the end of their first missionary journey, do you know where they go? They go back to Antioch. And what do? They report what God has done for them in the previous years and months that they were out on that journey and establishing churches. Wednesday night, we had that happen with Joel Travis. And he came back and he reported what God has been doing in some lives. And also we got to see his heartbeat. And those things are very important for you and I. And so we have two things when missionaries come. One, they come because they want to present themselves to the church that we might be able to somehow recognize if God's hand is upon them. Now, we partner with other churches in saying, yes, we believe God's hand is upon them, and we're going to help them, we're going to pray for them, we're going to help them financially, that they might do the work on the field. Okay? And that is, you know, that's what missions, I believe, is really about. Now, I said something a while ago. Sometimes we think missions is that we go down and we build in buildings and we do all this kind of stuff for the people. I got to explain something. If you were to go with me, as some of you folks have, down to Costa Rica, you'll get an opportunity, if you want to go by and see several different church buildings and works that are there. And I have been by several of those different missionaries that have established works. Some of them have been there for years and years. Some of them are fairly new, but many of them have been there for many years. You will find one church in Costa Rica that is what we call indigenous. Now, that simply means they're not dependent upon anybody but God. We're indigenous. We don't have a mother church. We don't have an outside organization that's funneling money or anything else into here. We need to get our directions from God. Amen? There's one like that. That's a real shame. Brother Todd, in the last several years, has been seeking in a couple of other places. There's some groups and pockets of people that are gathering together. And one of them is about to formulate into a local church. When it does, he's already been trained the man who will take it. And when his training is over, that will be their church. He will walk away. The pastor can call him anytime for advice if he wants to. And they may call him to come in from time to time to speak. But it's their deal. Right now, there's one church like that in Costa Rica. We have the mentality in America to think that if we can throw enough money at it, we'll make it successful. And what we fail to understand is the Costa Ricans, the Puerto Ricans, the Mexicans, I don't care who it is, we need to send missionaries that men can talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, see churches get established and men trained to do the work of the ministry. Not that we keep on doing that forever and build their buildings and keep paying their preacher. By the way, the responsibility of my paycheck is not with a mission board. It's not from another church. That's your responsibility. And so you take care of that in tithes and offerings. And as I minister to you, you minister to me. That's, you know, I do it in the spiritual, you do it in the physical. That's biblical. We find out in the Word of God. However, we have a mentality in the mission field that we're going to just keep pouring money into it forever. Are you following what I'm saying? And we need to understand, if we're going to have true missions, there needs to come the point where those people are doing it themselves. If there was a problem in Costa Rica and all those missionaries would have to leave, what would happen to the other churches? They've not been taught to take care of a man. They've not been shown any of that. And I don't know. The building, and I've told you about this, the building that you would see in Costa Rica where this one church is at, those people prayed, they gave, and they built it themselves. Just like you've done here. And for them, that's their church. It's their church building. And, it's an amazing thing. However, in the early days, when it was time to try to begin a building, the people came to Ron and said, "Why don't you go to America and get money and build us a building?" That's what all the rest of them did. And Ron said, "No." "Well, why not? Don't you care about us?" He said, "Your God is as good as the God of the Americans. And you need to learn to depend upon Him too." And they probably depend upon Him more than we do at this point in that one place. And so we have that kind of thing. Now, I don't find a problem if we go help some people with some things. But we sometimes think the idea is we go down and do everything for them. And I don't know how we call that missions. We don't do it all for them. We send the missionary to give the gospel. Okay? And that they might raise up others. I get myself in a lot of trouble with some things. We had a fellow come to our church that was from India. He's a native of India. Some of you might remember him. He wanted our church to send money over for some of the preacher boys that are underneath him. I said, "I don't understand." I said, "Why are we supposed to support pastors of churches in India?" He said, "Well, because they are so poor." I said, "Well, listen, let me think about this a moment. Let's put it this way. If I have 10 families in my church and they all tithe, does that not mean that I'm going to live at the same level that they're living at?" "Well, yeah." I said, "So if they're poor in India, but they're all tithing, and they've been taught to give, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with teaching poor people to give, amen?" I said, if they give, isn't he going to be at the same level as the people in that church?" "Oh, you don't understand. These are poor people." "No, I do understand the principle of God's Word." And one of the things I have to do as a pastor is have some discernment and look at some things. Some of these guys who come over here and cry poor from foreign countries are millionaires. Literally. Because we as Americans, we have that tender spot and we hear the stories and so forth. But what we don't know is they tell the same story in 1,000 churches and these things happen. And so, you know, that's just another whole thing. But what we need to understand is we have a responsibility to take the gospel to them. Okay? And then when they reach some people for Christ. What do they have? Somebody gets saved there that God's going to raise up to be in leadership. That might take a year. It may take many years. It depends. That's God's business. And so that missionary trains that guy, and his end goal is to be able to walk away from there with a church standing on its own with its own pastor and people coming to know Christ their Savior. And that's what we send them out to do. That's what Paul did. That's what took place when you read through the rest of the book of Acts, is churches that got established. And what we're going to study this week is how those churches that got established began to send other missionaries out to other places. They sent some of that money to Paul himself that he might not have to work as a tent maker and take the gospel to other places. And it's just a wonderful thing that you and I have a privilege to be a part of in getting the gospel to a lost world. But we need to be discerning. Not everything that says it's missions is missions. Okay? And a lot of it has to do with the training of people to get them there and all sorts of things. But nonetheless, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that we have the privilege and opportunity. But it is, I believe, the responsibility of the local church. Okay? Not of a mission board. A mission board can be helpful. But what happens oftentimes is the missionary becomes obligated to the mission board as opposed to the local church. I don't really know a whole lot about the Elmer Gantry thing, other than he was a charlatan. And that happens sometimes in the ministry. The local church, knowing the fella, is going to have a better handle on what he's doing or not doing. Brother Ron told me that a rather large church back east, shortly after the pastor took the church, they sent him to every missionary they supported. They paid his airfare, sent him that he might do two things. One, be acquainted with the missionaries, and also that he might discover what they're doing. Could a missionary write a letter that sounds good? Yeah. And so we, you know, there's those kinds of things. So, you know, it's just a wonderful blessing that we have that privilege to do that. And to, by the way, you ought to read the prayer letters. I started sending those out a number of years ago, email, and in fact, I got a couple of them I need to get out this afternoon to you as they send them to us. Not all of them send them by email to me, but those who do, I just kind of copy and paste, sometimes just forward those to you and so forth. I hope, by the way, that when I forward things, that it comes through on blank carbon copy, because I don't want all the names and addresses everybody else to be out there for everybody else, okay? And you ought to do that same thing. That's just a little thing there. If you're forwarding things, don't just hit the forward button, because all the addresses that are on there then comes to me. There are people out there who are taking those things to find out addresses, one of the ways they can steal information and so forth. I don't know how they do all that stuff, but it's just one of those things. Sometimes I get forwarded things and I got to scroll down through about 25 pages of forward addresses. There are people that will take that and use it. And there's a way to do that without doing that. Okay? Learn how to do that the other way. All righty. Listen, I hope that as we go through the week that you just let God just speak to your heart. Let Him use these guys with their experience to teach you some wonderful things. Come a little early, stay a little late. Don't afraid to be afraid to talk to them. They're available. If you want to have one of them for lunch or something, that's fine. You can take all of them. I don't care. You know, it's just that thing. we understand there's some discreet things there. You know, I mean, you know, if you're a single lady, you're not going to have one of Brother Ziner come over by yourself. But, you know, there's those kinds of things. So just take the time with them. Get to know them. These men understand missions very, very well. And it'll be a delight and a thrill to your soul. And you and I as a local church, our responsibility then is when we take on a missionary, we are saying we believe God's hand is upon them and we believe God wants us to be a part of their life in sending them on. And so praise the Lord for the privilege. So when you look back at that back wall back there and you see those little squares and oval things and you see the names of those folks, I hope it's more than just a decoration to you. And the privilege that is ours to work with them to take that gospel in those places. We are laborers together with them. That's how you and I can go here in our city and in states and countries close to us and to the other most. Father, thank you for this morning, for this time together. Bless in the hour to follow, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.